The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
After the nation of Judah returned from their 70-year Babylonian captivity, God inspired his prophet with a message for his returning people. The message itself was quite simple and very straightforward. The message was, "Rebuild my temple." I'd like for us at the very beginning to ask what I would consider to be a very important question for us today to consider and to think about. Does this Old Testament message have an application for us today as part of the body of Jesus Christ, part of the Church of God? With that question in mind, please go with me to the book of Haggai. Let's go to chapter 1, Haggai chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 1. "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Sealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Zedek, the high priest, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say." So God here is telling us through Haggai the prophet what the people, in essence, are telling to God. And so he says, "And this people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Interesting statement. God releases these people from a 70-year captivity. He sends a prophet to give them the message. A king, Cyrus, we can see that in Ezra chapter 1, that this king is inspired by God, and he is not a Israelite or a Jewish or a Judah king. He would be what we would consider as a Gentile king. God raises him up and he goes, "Oh, I'm inspired by this God to send the people back to build the temple." And so the people go back. The plan is very, very straightforward from God. The message is very simple: rebuild my temple. And the people say, "It's not time to rebuild the temple." Verse 3, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, oh, for you to dwell in your sealed or your paneled houses, and this house lie in ruins?" It's not time for you to go back and to build the temple of God, but it's time for you to be in your houses and taking care of all of your things. This is what God is asking here. Now, what attitude do we see from these returning people of God? What is the attitude that we see? Well, the first thing that I see is an attitude of me first. That's verse 2. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." And it goes on and he says, "But I'm going to take care of mine," because this is what God says that they're saying. Is this what it is? A second attitude that I think is, we see it from their reasoning, and their reasoning, I believe, can certainly at least be inferred from verses 3 and 4. "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you to dwell in your paneled houses, and this house lie waste?" And so we can see their reasoning. Me first. Me first. It's as if they were too busy building their own houses, their own homes, establishing themselves, to really get in and to spend time in building the house of God, when obviously what was needed was what? The house of God to be rebuilt. Because this is what God had told them to go and to do. So as a result, they put building their own houses before building God's house. And I think their attitude is made very, very clear when we go to verse 9, especially the second part. I'm going to read all of the verse, but in Haggai 1 and verse 9, "You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow up on it." In other words, he blew it away. And he says, "Why, says the Lord of hosts?" And here's their attitude: "Because of mine house that is in waste, and you run every man unto his own house. That's their attitude. Me first. Let's take care of me and mine, and when we get to it, we'll take care of God's. So what we see is very plain. While God's house lay in ruins, everyone was concerned for their own house. Now I have a question just to interject here, and that question is, should we be concerned about our own house? And the answer is, of course we should. Of course we should. But is that what should be first? Haggai's real message is seen in verse 4. I've read it. We're going to read it again. We'll probably even read it again before the sermon is over. But verse 4 shows Haggai's real message, and that is it time to dwell in panel houses while the temple lies in ruins? Then comes God's test or God's challenge to his people. We continue here in the book of Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. A better rendering is probably, give careful thought to your ways. Pay real close attention to your ways. Pay real close attention here to what you're doing. You need to consider your ways. You need to consider what you're doing here. This is God telling them. They're doing their own things, me first, and God has said, I want you to rebuild the house. And they're going, well, it's not time. And he says, but it's time for you to build in your own houses. Now, you got to consider your ways here. Give careful thoughts to your ways. Verse 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. In other words, you're taking care of all of these physical necessities. Do we have all of these necessities? Of course we have all of these necessities. Of course we do. And he says, but none are warmed, and he that earned wages to put it in a bag with holes. In other words, give careful thought to your ways. Brother, obviously things were bad as they should have been building the temple or rebuilding the temple. That's the reason things were bad. Their focus was wrong. Their focus was on me first. Let's continue on in verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He repeats it. The same warning, the same admonition, give careful thought to your ways here. Verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. So we go back and we reiterate what is happening. God is telling through the prophet Haggai, and the people are saying, God says, the people are saying, it's not time to rebuild the house of God. And God asked the question, are you saying then, therefore, that it's time to you live in your own panel houses and you take care of you first? Is that really the thing that you want to think about? He says, and you have all of these things, but they don't mean anything. They don't last because I'm blowing them away. Consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. Consider this. In verse 8, what I want you to do is very, very plain here. What I want you to do is go up to the mountain. I want you to bring the wood, and I want you to build the house. And as a result of that, I, God speaking, I will be glorified. Because these people had put building their houses before God's house, they prospered little. And also as a result of that, what little they had, God simply blew it away. It didn't last. It was as if the wages they earned, and we certainly can understand that, they earned the wages and they put them in their pocket. It didn't last as long. This is the essence of what he's talking about here. Verse 9, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little when you brought it home, because I did blow up on it. Why? And God answers it. Because of my house that is in waste, and you run every man unto his own house. We see that God even caused a drought. And I don't mean just a physical drought. I mean a drought in what I would consider a drought of judgment upon his people. Their thinking was empty. Their thinking wasn't right. Verse 10. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground brings forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands, of all that you put your hands to do. There's this drought. And I certainly can see this is extended even into the drought of a judgment of the people. Now, because of God's words and actions that came through Haggai the prophet, Haggai was a prophet who delivered it, did exactly what God told him to do. The people obeyed, and they completed the temple. And that's a good thing. And that's a good thing. Verse 12, then Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest and all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. That's a good thing. Then spoke Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. You think God wasn't going to bless them all along? God's saying, I'm with you. I am with you, saith the Lord. Verse 14, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the governor in Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Verse 14, and the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius the king. Now, with this in mind, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Now, many of you are going to recognize that verse right off. Good. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. All of this happened, and all of this is written down. All of this is recorded so we can learn from it. So I asked that question at the beginning. Is there anything that we can learn? That's exactly the way I asked the question, but that's what I said. Is there anything that we can learn from that? And the answer is obviously, absolutely, and the New Testament even verifies it out. Yes, all of these things are written for our admonition. And since this was written for our admonition, then I think that we need to consider Haggai's application to the church today. Without a doubt, if you really extend it on out and you think it in your mind, we face a similar undertaking today. No, it's not the building or the rebuilding of a physical building or temple as they were instructed to go do a physical house, because today the temple of God is the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. You know this, but let's go there and read this and see this. Verse 16, 1 Corinthians 3, 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God? Who are the you? Those that are called, those that are faithful, those that are part of the body of Jesus Christ. You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defile the temple of God, i.e. the church, him shall God destroy. Pretty serious. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. I think it's very clear that we all should understand today we have a similar job to build the temple, which is a never-ending task. But we've been instructed. We are to continue to rebuild and to build the temple of God. Therefore, I think we need to ask ourselves another question. Does God's house, or God's church, lie in ruins? While we are concerned with our own houses. For example, we're familiar that over time, church groups splintering into more and more groups? Is that building the temple? Is that building the church of God? It's a question. It's a question to consider. Or how about, are we neglecting to do our part in edifying the body of Christ? Or what about our abilities and whatever opportunities that we may have to serve in the body of Jesus Christ? Are we neglecting those responsibilities because what we're doing, instead of building the church of God, the house of God, the temple, we're spending more time building our own house as opposed to God's house? Now, I want to talk about some of these abilities and opportunities, and I want to present these, but I want to think about it from a question. Where are we individually in these things? Okay, the first one I want to talk about is it may involve teaching or serving. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, wisely, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So whatever faith it is that we have, God's given this to us. The more we exercise, the more we use the Spirit of God within us, all of these things grow. But we've been given a measure. What are we doing with it? This is what this is saying. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same responsibility, and we don't. We don't all stand up here and speak publicly. You know, we understand that. All do not get up and lead song services. All do not do all the whatever the different things are that we all do within the body. But we understand there's a place, and whatever that place is, and we have a part and we have a place. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or responsibility. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every member one of another, having then gifts differing, listen to this part, according to the grace that is given to us. We have different gifts because of the grace of God. It's not because of this person is better than somebody else and this person is this more or less than somebody else. No, it's this, because of the according to the grace that is given to us. And then he goes on and he talks about some of these things. Whether prophecy. Prophecy here could simply mean looking at things that's going to happen, but it also could simply be referring to what is called inspired preaching. It could be just speaking. It could be giving sermons or sermonettes. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, or service, in serving. Let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches, on teaching. In other words, whatever the job is, whatever the responsibility, whatever it is that according to the grace that is given to us from God, we've already seen, that God through it is glorified, let each one do that. Or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. And none of these things of and by themselves are limited to the ministry or to the deacons or anyone else in an ordained position. This is talking to us who are part of the body of Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As everyone has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. The gift, whatever that gift is. Or gifts, if there's more than one. Whatever that gift is, minister it, serve it one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. It's been given because it's part of the grace of God to receive it, to have it. Verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, speak the words of God, not his own words, but the words of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So be it. It's what we would want. Brethren, through each of us exercising our God-given abilities, whatever they may be, whatever they are, we can build the temple of God today. If we're not doing that, if we're not doing that, God's house will lie in ruins. That is what's going to happen. So, we need to ask ourselves, is it time to dwell in panel houses and let God's house lie in ruin? And the thing is, apparently some think so because of some excuses they use, or because of their attitude, or because of their actions. We can see it. Sometimes it's pretty clear that we can see that apparently some think so because they say things like, I will serve the Lord as soon as I, and you can fill in the blank. As soon as they get back from vacation. Is it wrong to take vacations? Of course not. Are we putting that in front of serving God? I don't know. It's a yes or no. Or, as soon as I get this new job. Do we need jobs? Sure we need jobs. But it's going to just simply have holes in the pocket. It's not going to last if we're not serving God. We've already seen it. That's the principle. That's the thing that we're seeing. Or, as soon as I rear my children to adulthood. I've actually been told that before. I'll serve in the church as soon after I get my kids all raised up. She'll go, what are you teaching your children? And even having that attitude. What are you telling them? Or as soon as I get this new group started. Or whatever the case may be. The point is, in each one of these cases, and whatever, you can draw a line, you can fill it in yourself. The point being is, the bottom line is the same. God's house lies in ruin while we are going about doing our own thing. That's the point, and that's the principle. That's the lesson from Haggai. Let somebody else do it. The somebody else is all of us. It is us. One member does what one member does, but it takes the whole, all the members, to do the one body. So if one isn't doing what it is that they need to be doing according to the grace of God given to them, what is happening to the body? It's lying in ruins. Because that part of it isn't being accomplished. In Haggai's day, it was not time to put other things before God's house. God made that very plain. It is a time to put something else in front of God. You put God first. That's the lesson. That's a major lesson that God is teaching them and had it recorded for us to learn today. The point is, it was not time to put other things before God's house in Haggai's day, nor is it time for us to do so today. We have to put the kingdom of God first. Matthew 6:33. But seek you first the kingdom of God. It didn't say second. It didn't say third. It didn't say anything other than what position it's in. It doesn't even say, seek you the kingdom of God. It says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things are going to be added unto you. There is no question about it in the scriptures. We must keep God first. He has to be first before we can keep him first. He has to be there in the first position before we can keep him there in the first position. And that's an important point to think about in that way. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10:37. We begin Matthew 10:37. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. God must come and be first. Verse 38. And he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. Oh, I'll do that as soon as I... And you start filling in blanks and you start doing things. What you're saying is the house of God is lying in ruins. That's not what we think, but that's what our God tells us. That's what's happening. Verse 39. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. What is first? God must be first. Without a doubt, we need to consider our ways. Or we need to give careful thought to our ways, as Haggai stated. As we put God in his kingdom or his house or his church first, God will provide the necessities. He's not going to blow them away. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go back there. Matthew 6, 31. This is what he's saying. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we be clothed? Now, do we need to take responsibility for what our family is eating and drinking and being clothed? Of course we do. There is nowhere in here does God say, don't do these things. You know, and there are times whenever people say, well, this is too hard because we're not supposed, we do all of our time giving it to God, and therefore we don't have time to do these other things. Is that what he says? It's not what he says. Read the rest of these verses here. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things, implying he's going to make sure that you have them if you're doing first things first. This is what he's saying. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Very plain. God will work out the details. He's not going to blow them off or blow them away. God also will multiply our seed for sowing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. If we're putting God first, what we're sowing there is going to reap bountifully. And if we're not, what's going to happen? You know the end result. Then there's, on the other hand, if we neglect the word of God, as seen through Haggai, God very likely may not intervene for us. And we may even experience God's discipline. Yes, he'd do it out of love. He would do it out of concern. We also may experience the discipline from God. Let's go back to Haggai chapter 1, verse 9. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 9. You looked for much, and it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow up on it. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is in waste, and you run every man upon his own house. You're taking care of you first. Nowhere does he say, don't care, take care of you. It's what are you taking care of first? What is the attitude? This is what God is looking for here. Let's go back now to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Notice, if we would look at ourselves, look at the standard. This is what God says, do this first. Are we doing this first or not? It's yes or no. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. We're in a different category. Israel, or in this case, Judah, being brought back out of that captivity, was in a total different category than all the rest of the world. God was dealing with them as his people. I want you to go and build my temple first. I'll take care of all these other things. And he made it very plain, showing them. They started taking care of their own things first, and God blew it away. And then whenever they repented and they saw it and they went out and started doing the temple, God blessed them, and he says, I'm with you. I'm taking care of you. This is what he tells us. It's not a thing about not doing our own things. It's not a question about taking care of our houses and our families and all of that. Yes, we do that, but what is our attitude and our focus in taking care of? God is first. I think it's fairly obvious that from the book of Haggai, we learn that God's people took the message to heart. They got it. Verse 12, then Zerubbabel and Joshua, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the people did fear before the Lord. They got it. They got it. Now let me stress what I consider to be God's real point here. We see it here in Haggai chapter 1 and verse 13. Then spoke Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. You see, God is with us differently than he is other people that are not part of the body or part of the temple, the house of God. Does he love them? Of course he loves them. But is it a difference? It is a difference. But this statement here in Haggai, I am with you, it's the same kind of statement, same kind of promise, similar to that was made by Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, this is to the church, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, do we believe that? Yes or no? Do we believe that? Do we live our lives based upon the fact that all power, all authority has been given to Jesus Christ? Then we would be putting God first. Because that's what the end result would be. If we're trying to work out our own things, taking care of our own selves, without putting God first, because our attitude is one of, well, I got to take care of me first, then we don't really believe that Jesus, that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Because if we actually believed this, our lives would be different. Verse 19, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. It's the same promise. I am with you. That's what he told them. And that's what he tells the church today. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. This promise given by God through Haggai to the people of Judah, brought back after the captivity, told to go and rebuild the temple, and they said, well, yeah, but we got to build our own lined houses, our own paneled walled houses first, take care of us first. And God said, no, this is right. The timing isn't right. And after he showed them lessons by blowing away the things that they were getting, they got the point, they repented, and God said, great, I am with you. This is the same promise. The same promise is for those who do not let God's house lie in ruins while they dwell in paneled houses. So I have a question for us to conclude this sermon today. Am I, are we, are you, are we doing our part to build the house of God? And you may say, I don't know, because I don't really know what all my part is. That may be something else that we need to address. But for today, I want us to ask the question, Are we allowing the house of God to lie in ruin while we are taking care of the me first? Is that our attitude, or is our attitude one of God first? That's the lesson of Haggai. And the Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are blessed as being part of the body of Jesus Christ, the Church of God.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.